Hi, I'm Jason. When I was 10 years old, I went to summer camp and it changed my life. I returned year after year as a camper, then a counselor, and after a brief stop along the way, I decided to make it my life's work. Now I'm the owner and director of Camp Menominee. I wanted to tell the whole world about the amazing things that go on at camp, so I started a podcast about it. During the summer, I record a new episode with campers and counselors every night to share stories from a great day at camp. In our off season, I take the pod on the road and talk to people all over the world about their camp experience. I want to shine a light on all the outstanding work being done in the overall camp community and share what it means to be a part of the Menominee family. This is the Campcast from Camp Menominee. Good morning, afternoon, evening, or whenever you're listening to this Camp Menominee. I'm Jason Fellgraber, and I'm so excited to be back on the podcast. For those of you who are new to the show, welcome. We're so excited to have you. For those veterans, welcome to season four of the Campcast. It is going to be a great year. We're going to be doing a ton of these over the summer, and we have a great episode for you to kick things off. So today on the season premiere, we have camp parent and media mogul Melissa Plaskoff take over hosting duties to grill me on our COVID-19 plans for the summer. We get into pre-summer quarantine, travel, testing, cohorting, mass communication, all of it. And while we get into a ton of detail, we will follow up on this with more on each subject and answer your questions that come in. So some of you might remember Melissa from one of our most popular episodes where she helped first-year families get to know me and camp a little bit. And we're thrilled to have her back. Oh, by the way, if you'd prefer, you can watch the full video of our interview on our YouTube page. That's right. The Campcast has gone multi-platform, so listen to it, watch it, however you want to consume it, but we'll get right to it now. So here we go, my conversation with Melissa Plaskoff. But first, as always, Miles Provis.
Well, listen, here's what I want to say. I want to give you a huge congratulations, like the size of the state of Texas, because camp is back. And I know that Parker Plaskoff was not happy last summer because of camp being canceled, but I know you worked really hard to get this rolling this year. And so from the Plaskoff family, we say thank you.
Well, we will do anything for the Plaskoff family. I appreciate it. We're excited. I'm really excited. Like last year was devastating. For all of us, and we've been working really hard for the last year to get to a place, and like the cliche in camping right now is how much the kids need this, but I think the thing that no one is really talking about, the best kept secret, is how much the directors need this and how much the staff need this, and so we're doing it for all of us, and we're excited to be back. I'm up at camp right now. I got up here last night. There is snow on the ground and it's 70 in Chicago. So I didn't come at the right time. But yeah, we're excited, thrilled, ready to go.
Okay. So I know as a parent of a camper, I have a lot of questions, and I'm sure, you know, what do they say? If you have that question, someone else must have that question too. So let's just get into it. How will camp be different this summer? I mean, I know big picture, we're going to get into travel and pods and if someone gets sick, things like that. But will the overall experience be different?
I mean, I don't think so. Different in the ways that there's some things that we're not going to be doing that we've always done that the kids really look forward to, right? Like we're not going to be having town day outside of camp, but we are working with our staff to have in camp town day. And we're not going to be doing our annual competition with Quagga, but our counselors are working on how to make parts of green and white competitive and sports focused, so that we can have that level of excitement with the guys. So, I mean, Campbell looked different in the sense that we're living in the middle of a global pandemic, and we're trying to adapt and deal with that. But as far as it feeling like Menominee and being camp, that's going to be the same. That's what we need. We all just kind of need to be a little bit more aware of what's going on around us and how we act before camp and all those little details that I know we're going to be getting into.
Okay, so let's talk about all the little details. Okay, I don't know about you parents, but there are a lot of emails that went out. I have schedules. I have Excel spreadsheets. A lot of things to review. We all have a lot going on, and I'm not really the best at this kind of stuff. We all learn differently. So we thought we could have kind of a conversation about what we need to do prior to camp, what will happen as we travel, and then as camp, you know, goes through the summer. So right now, what should we be doing and what should we literally be doing leading up to camp the week before the kids leave? And this is for, I guess, we have to think about the kids that are in state and then out of state.
So right now, everyone should please just read the emails. That's like, I can't stress that enough. Like in a normal summer, I get that you're getting a lot of stuff and you can put some things off until the last minute. And maybe you're struggling. You're like procrastinating on getting your forms in or booking your travel or whatever you're doing. But this year more than ever, it's so important to be on the ball. So we have two places on our website that I keep pushing parents to go to. One's called the Parent Headquarters, which literally breaks down every aspect of camp, travel, baggage, what you need during the summer, how the emails work, like the broad details to all the really small ones, the camp store. And then we also have a COVID headquarters that is specific to all the policies that are related to COVID that we're going to talk about today. So if there's anything I'm stressing right now, it's get on top of that, like get an overall broad picture of what you're going to need to do for the next month and a half leading up to camp. Cause we're going to ask a lot out of parents. We're going to ask for, some health monitoring before the kids come to camp. We're going to talk about the quarantine in a little bit, but please get ahead of that now. And the one thing that it actually is time pressing is the camp store is only open until May 3rd. So if you want your awesome Menominee gear, like I'm wearing and like you're wearing, Melissa, then go buy that stuff now, please. Because the last thing I need is for all of you to call me and be like, can I still buy this stuff? I didn't see the emails. But at that point, we're going to be getting our staff to camp and we're going to be starting our training and we're going to be working with you on travel and trying to educate you on the testing and all the protocols. So just do us a favor.
It's so cute.
I mean, it is. It's great.
Check it out. The merch is really cute. Good job on updating that.
Thank you.
I've been pushing Parker to take a look, but I guess I'm just going to have to make some decisions for him. Okay, so let's talk about that quarantine. And again, in state and out of state. So in our situation, you know, we're flying from Dallas. Parker will be leaving, you know, the day before you guys drive to camp. So there's that situation. But for the kids that are in state, what do they need to do in this quarantine period?
So even in state and out of state. So let's frame it this way. The goal of our summer, right? Like the most important thing that we want to do this summer is to have a complete, like full 8 weeks, healthy, happy summer. Okay. So all of the things that we're going to do are like geared towards accomplishing that goal and getting to a place where we are eliminating as much of the risk as we possibly can. There's no way to do it 100%, but as much of the risk as we possibly can. And I know that some of the parents and there might be some people out there that read our protocols and say, this is a little too much. And this might be more than what the CDC is saying, or this seems like it's overkill. But all of that stuff is because we are a cruise ship. Right? Like we are a contained environment and we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to mitigate that risk. So let's talk about quarantine and before the summer. So on the COVID headquarters, there is a few pages about what the quarantine looks like, but the gist of it is this. Just don't be in close contact, unmasked around anyone that is not in your immediate family unit. period. Just don't do that for 7 days. Like if you're playing baseball and you're outside and you're away from people, like wear a mask on the bench. Maybe do us a favor and wear a mask while you're running the bases, but don't go to the team party that's at a restaurant. Maybe, or if you need to say goodbye to your family members, like grandma or your aunts that you're so excited that you can finally see for the first time because they're vaccinated. And I know how we've all been waiting to do that, but let's not like give them a big hug inside. Like, let's say goodbye from a safe distance outside. Like we need every parent and every camper to just make responsible decisions for 7 days leading up to camp because
I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's, yeah, I mean, it's responsible. And I think, are we all exhausted from this? Yes. Mm-hmm. But guess what? How exhausting will it be to get the phone call that there's a problem at camp and now you've got to drive up there, get your child, drive home. I mean, in our case, that'd be a long drive and affect other children's experiences. So you know what? It's like, suck it up, deal with it, and do something that will ultimately give all of these boys a really great camp experience.
Right. And like if your son was going to day camp and he was taking the bus, or if you were carpooling, like for that week leading up to camp, drive him yourself. Like don't have him be in the car with another, just like little small things that I know can, some of this can be annoying perhaps. And it'll be at a time where the weather's getting nice in the Midwest. Like you always have decent weather, except for a month out there in Texas this year, but the weather's getting nice. People are starting to get outside. Our country's getting vaccinated more and more. And so people are going to start relaxing a little bit. And we need everyone to turn that switch back to taking this really seriously for a week leading up to it. And then
let me just say that.
Yeah, please.
I mean, these kids are really lucky. They get to go away for 8 weeks. I mean, thank you, Jason, for that. But I mean, as you know, as families, this is expensive and we're sending these kids. So it's an investment. So it's like anything. You really just need to, you know, this is your precious child, your investment, and this investment into the experience. So why wouldn't you do everything you needed to do to get the return basically on the investment?
Mm-hmm. And you know, we're asking for a week. Could that shorten before the summer starts? Maybe, but it's more just giving ourselves a cushion because we're doing that saliva PCR test. Like if you haven't seen the emails, we are lucky enough to be partnering with the University of Illinois, and they've developed this program called SHIELD, which is a 3-gene saliva PCR test, which is a test that A, is not invasive and you don't have to shove anything up the boy's nose, and B, allows them to pick up asymptomatic and presymptomatic COVID in a much shorter incubation window. So we're not asking for 14 days. We're not asking for you to shelter for that time. But for 7 days, please just be responsible because that test is going to determine whether or not your son can get on the bus the next day. So if your son has test positive for COVID, then he's not going to be able to get on the bus. And imagine
okay,
let's
hold that example.
Right.
So son tests positive for COVID. What happens?
So before camp, we're talking about, right?
Before camp, right.
Right. So then basically we'll ask the family to follow CDC guidance. I think right now it's still 10 days, a 10-day quarantine and just clearing quarantine and kind of writing out your positive diagnosis, and then you could come back to camp once you've cleared quarantine and have no symptoms after that time. But you've missed out on the first 10 days of camp, and that really stinks. And all you had to, like, some things are out of your control. I know that, but and imagine if you're an out-of-state family, so which you are, you don't have to imagine it because you are. But like if you flew Parker into Chicago the day before and he got tested positive, like, now you're in Chicago and you have a camper who just tested positive and you can't get on a plane to go home, and you have to figure out what you're doing from there. And for our out-of-state campers, we're asking that like you're going to kind of double test Parker, right? Like we're asking that you're going to get him a negative test before you get on the plane. And then he's going to test when he gets to Chicago. And that should be really great cover. And of course there's that like 24 or 48 hour window during the travel time that maybe our test won't pick up, but air travel has proven to be relatively safe. We'll ask that you put on an N95 and stay away from people. Like we just have to use common sense as to how we're operating. Like it's funny. I was talking to a good friend of mine, Andy, who owns Northstar, and they ran successfully last year. And one of his big notes to his families last year was two of three. Mask outside and distance. And then literally the CDC came out, I think, last week and started putting two of three graphics up. And really pushing the two of three thing, or maybe it was the New York Times, but either way, it's kind of funny because he was a year ahead on that. But that's the model that we're operating with: two of three, two of three, two of three. That's
that you are asking your staff to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And so our staff are in an interesting spot too, because most of our staff, I mean, right now all of our American staff who are signed on to come work for us are either fully vaccinated, one shot in, or will be fully vaccinated by the time the summer comes. We have a number of international staff that it's not available to them where they are. So we are working with our local health department to set up vaccine clinics for when they get here. So by a few weeks into the summer, at least halfway through, our whole staff will be vaccinated, but we're still going to ask them to follow a similar protocol. And unless the CDC tells us not to, and even if they do, we're probably still going to test them as well, unless there is a study out there that says 100% of people that are vaccinated can't carry the virus. And that hasn't happened yet. I mean, the numbers are pretty low, like 0.007. I mean, they're phenomenally low. But yeah, so our staff are going to do the same thing that the kids are doing, and the staff are coming 2 weeks ahead of time. So they'll have fully cleared quarantine before the kids even get there.
Okay. So let's say everyone follows protocol. They do what they're supposed to do. They go to your website. They look at the parent headquarters. They go to the COVID headquarters, get on the bus. We're good. What does that first week of camp look like? Will it be different? How are you putting, I mean, will the kids immediately just merge into this world? Will there be pods? What does that look like?
Yeah. So it's a great question. So the first thing is how we're going to travel up to camp. So we are asking everyone to come to Chicago so that we can bus everyone to camp through Chicago. And we're going to put them on buses based on their pods or cohorts. So we're going to have, it's not just going to be one cabin. It'll be a couple cabins or two age groups, enough where they can still do full activities. They can still play sports. They can still participate in all the stuff that they want to do. And we're still going to give them the choices of the activities that they want to do, because that's a major tenet of our camp program. But they'll travel up to camp in those groups. And then that first week of camp, you will have pretty heavy masking protocols, but remember, two of three, two of three. So when you're in your cabin, you don't have to wear a mask. That's going to be your family unit. You will then be doing activities with your pod or your cohort. So your cabin and two to four other cabins, right? And so you're not going to have to wear a mask in the shower house or when you're down at the waterfront. And I will ask that when, for example, you're playing basketball, if you're playing in a basketball league with kids from another cabin, which you will because they'll be a part of your pod, we're going to ask that the boys wear a mask for the first 6 days, because even though we're outside, we won't be distanced in those scenarios, right? So we won't hit those two. So we'll need to throw a mask on to hit two of three. And in each scenario, okay, we're going to...
What do you mean? So, and I think we all have different definitions.
Of mask?
Right. I mean, is it a gaiter? Is it, you know, something with cloth? Does it need a filter? What's your definition?
So we'll put out, I was going to put out a video of kind of showing what masks are okay and what masks aren't. But there, I we're going by the CDC recommendations. Gators, last year gators were okay. I was wearing a gator all around camp when we rented out cabins last year, but they're too thin. Jeff, our assistant director, likes to do the test where, like, if you can blow out a birthday candle through the mask, it's no good. But you know, cloth masks, multi-layered. I have to wear a mask when I play tennis. I play a lot of tennis and I have to wear a mask when I play. And I like the ones that kind of go all the way around where you can just kind of have it hanging down your neck and then you can put it on when you see people. But, everyone has different ones that are comfortable for them. And I know Amazon sells a lot of different kind of connectors. So that's what I would recommend, would be buying those connectors that you can do for the mask that don't go all the way around your neck. So that way it could just kind of hang there and you can put it on and off while the boys are at camp. So we're going to ask them to have a mask at all times with them.
And I'm guessing with dining, you know, as they get into the to go eat, well, they'll be masked up, and then obviously they're going to eat and then mask on and leave, or how will that work?
Yes. So Craig and Joe, our amazing caretakers, have spent a lot of the off season building an entire picnic table village. So we are actually moving our entire mess hall outside, and we are also now we're working on how we can canopy slash tent that so we can really eat outside in almost any circumstances. So what'll be nice is the boys will be able to eat at their own table without masks on. If they have to go to the buffet or whatever they're doing, they'll put their masks on to do that. But we will be in an outside space away from far enough away from the other boys from the other pods that we'll be okay. And just to go back to the podding model and why we're doing it, because one thing that I always think is important as I'm going through this is the what and the why. So we have done up until this point, like we've gotten to camp and we've done those rounds of testing and hopefully we've done the quarantine, but nothing we can do can 100% guarantee that COVID didn't get in camp, right? So what we need to do is make sure that if it does get into camp, that we're limiting the spread and that we're catching it early. And that's why we're doing our masks and our pods and our cohorts is so to limit the amount of people that you are in close contact with either in an indoor space or like sharing air. And that's the key, is to just limit the amount of people that you're in close contact with that you could spread the virus to if it does get in camp. Because the goal would be to really cut it off, limit the spread, quarantine quickly, and make sure that it doesn't spread throughout camp. So that's why we're doing the pods and the cohorts early. And the goal for us would be test it day 3. And test again at day 6. So then we'll have -1, day 3, day 6. And we might be doing some surveillance testing after that. But those 3 tests within a 7-day window should give us really great cover for the summer. Again, not 100%, but it puts us in a really comfortable position, I think.
Let me ask you a question about time off. Mm-hmm. It's kind of popped into my head. So I'm assuming that not everyone will be working every day for 8 weeks. So if a counselor or, you know, a staff member has a break and can go into town or go see someone, will that be possible? What will the criteria or the protocol be when they return and enter back into camp?
Yeah. So everyone's asking, a lot of the questions we're getting are around, like, so are you operating in a bubble? And what will your bubble look like? And when we put out our early information about our protocols back in January, we even used the term bubble a lot. But I kind of want to redefine. I want to redefine what bubble means, because it looks different now than it did 4 months ago because of the rate of vaccinations and the effectiveness of the vaccination. So originally in our heads, months ago, bubble meant completely closed campus, nobody in, nobody out. But with our vaccinated staff members, we are going to redefine bubble as the people and not necessarily the grounds. Like we're not going to draw a border around our camp and kind of put an electric fence there, but we will have created our own bubble with our people. So if a group of our staff members that have time off want to go to a campsite together or want to go hiking together or want to go to an outdoor area where they can have a picnic or like do something off site that is not around anyone in public, but they're just together themselves, I think that's great. And I think that's healthy. And I think that'll help them relax and recharge a little bit. We will not be going in restaurants. We won't be going to the movie theaters. We're not going indoor to Walmart. Like, we're not doing any of that stuff. We're going to be interacting with the public, but we can maintain our bubble that doesn't necessarily have to be on our grounds with our staff. And I think that adjustment and allowing our staff to do some of that stuff offsite will go a long way into their mental health for the summer and making sure that they're looking after your kids in the best way possible, and they can relax and recharge. So that's something we're working on.
Look, we've all been home with our kids. Everyone needs a break. I wasn't asking anyone to work for 8 weeks, 24 hours a day. I just know that question comes into mind, you know, how does that work? And is when someone says, and I guess you just trust, right? When they say, hey, we're going to go camping, that they're not going to go somewhere to buy food to cook at the campsite. So I think there's, you know, all of those steps as a parent you think about, just because we've all been there.
Yeah.
You know, let me run and grab one thing. And I don't know how you will mandate that they do what you ask them to do, but I feel like, you know, they're taking this pledge and, you know, they're given this huge responsibility. So you will trust that they will follow it.
I think that the trust and buy-in piece is so important, Melissa, right? Like, they, in everything that we ask our staff to do this year, like by just coming to camp and committing this 10 weeks that they're committing, and all of our staff members committed before the vaccinations became widely available. So all of our staff members committed knowing or thinking that they would need to be in camp in an enclosed space for 10 weeks. And so their buy-in is there. And you are sending your sons to camp because you trust me and you trust our directors, but you also trust the people that we hire to take care of them, to lifeguard for them, to help them on the zip line and the climbing wall and the riskiest areas of camp. And so we're still working out how we're going to formulate our communication around what staff time off is and any sort of monitoring of where they're going and what they're doing. But at the end of the day, there is a major element of this to trust and buy in and everyone knowing that one mistake or one slip up or one stupid move or one person going into Walmart or a gas station could be the end of the summer for us. And so everyone needs to kind of take a step back and understand that we're all coming from the right place there.
No, I think that's great. Okay, so finish this sentence for me. I should not send my son to camp if...
I should not send my son to camp. So to me, there's a few ways to finish this question. So number one is, I should not send my son to camp if I'm not prepared to get the email saying that someone in camp has tested positive for COVID. So that's number one. And I, you know, I struggle with this. I don't struggle with it, but it's interesting because I am not a parent. So my kids have not been in school because I don't have kids. So I haven't been getting those emails regularly. But from what I understand, a lot of parents have, where someone in their class or someone in their school has tested positive for COVID. And so I want parents to get to a mental place where they know that there's a possibility that email is coming from camp this summer. The next step of that is, I should not send my son to camp if I'm not prepared to get the email saying that someone in my son's cabin has tested positive for COVID. And the third kind of iteration of that is, I should not send my son to camp if I'm not prepared to get the email saying that my son has tested positive for COVID. Those are just realities of the world we live in right now. And every step that we're taking is to do our best to keep it out. And if it does get in, do our best to limit the spread. But I cannot sit here or look any of our families in the eye and say that it's 100% that we're going to do that. And I know the parents are have concerns about the summer, and we're going to try and address every single one of them. But we all need to approach this from a possibility that COVID will get in camp this summer, and we can talk about how we're going to manage it if it does get into camp and what our communication is going to be, because I'm sure those are your follow-up questions. But I want to make sure that all of our families are in a place where they know that that's a real possibility leading into the summer.
Communication is in all capital letters on my list. So communication. So whether it's positive or negative. How often will you be communicating with parents and sharing kind of, you know, here's what's going on, here's the latest update, here are some things you need to know, whether it's good news or bad news?
So if there is a positive case at camp, everyone will get notified. Like all of the parents will get notified. If it's a positive case and it's not in your son's cabin, you will get notified that it's not in your son's cabin. And that is pretty much as we're going to give you right off the bat. We're HIPAA doesn't allow us to, like, there are HIPAA laws that prevent us from sharing too much information about that. So those are the things that you will know. If it is in your son's cabin, you will be informed that someone in your son's cabin has tested positive, and then we will talk about all the steps that we are taking to for his cabin, and how we're going to test them, how we're going to quarantine them, what's going on, how long of a period of time it's going to be, and we'll set up phone calls or Zoom calls for concerned parents. But we'll be very clear about this up front. In our full protocols that we'll send out. And then obviously if it's your son, you're going to be the first to know. You'll hear from us. The way that I'm presenting this is not in the order that we're going to do it. I'm not sending whole camp cabin and then parents who have tested positive. Obviously we're going to start with the parents of the camper who've tested positive. So if we want to, do you want to kind of flip that and we'll work backwards from a camper who has tested positive this summer to talk about what that will look like for that family and for everyone else?
I think so. And I mean, what if that family is traveling?
So
what if they are overseas? I mean, possibly. Or what if they are, you know,
so here's something I wanna be clear about. And this is something that every family needs to recognize as well, is that we are preparing for and able to care for campers that have tested positive for COVID at camp for their entire quarantine period and isolation period. So for that 10 days, we are ready to have your son at camp, have him like have a positive experience still at camp if he is physically able, which most boys in their demographic that get COVID are, to get out there, do activities. We have a big enough camp, a large enough space to be able to program for COVID positive campers and care for COVID positive campers at camp. So if your son tests positive for COVID, you do not have to pick him up.
Okay, and so like don't book the first flight to come and grab your son.
Correct. You can. Like I am not going to hold your son at camp and say, like, you cannot come and pick him up. Some families are in a place where if their son has COVID, they want him to come home and like finish his recovery at home and be in his like safe, comfortable space at home. But we will provide that for him at camp. We have been working on new AC for our health center rooms. We have new Wi-Fi capabilities at camp. We'll definitely relax our technology policy a little bit for the boys who have tested positive, and then we'll have counselors that are vaccinated that are willing and able to fully program for those boys. So you can come pick your son up, but you do not have to. And everyone else in camp needs to realize that we are ready for that, and we are not asking a COVID positive camper to go home. So like for the rest of the population that will be in camp, but it will be completely separate and away from everyone else, though there won't even be anything near close contact with the other campers.
I think no, that's great.
And then
and look who wanted to say hello. We heard that bark.
Oh, Buster, yeah, he's doing his thing.
Yes, I agree.
There.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's that camper. And you will be in communication with you. The parents can decide what they want to do from there. There are medical facilities very close to us that have the capabilities to house and care for our campers if they do need to avail themselves of that. We will have our nurse and health team on site and telemed capabilities and testing on site. So we will have all of this covered for you and be in constant communication during that time. If it's a camper in your son's cabin, we will be pulling that full cabin out of their activities and we'll kind of put them through a similar quarantine that you would if a camper from a person from your son's class would tested positive, because they would have been in close contact in their cabin for a longer period of time. And as our pediatricians direct, we will test those boys and we will program for them separately like we would the boys who have tested positive. So we've had experience with this before. Unfortunately, we've had norovirus at camp before. So we have fully programmed for a cabin of boys that have had a virus. And we have fully done the health center to recovery cabin to clearing quarantine to back into your regular cabin space. So we've moved our campers through this. We've moved our staff through this. So as frustrating as that experience was at camp, it's definitely prepared us a little bit for this as much as we can. And then for the rest of the population, we'll inform everyone that obviously that there was a case in camp, and we'll make sure everyone is informed about future positive tests, or making sure that everyone knows that the tests on the boys that came in close contact were negative, and that we're COVID clear whenever that happens. So I think the parents that know us well know that we have a habit of over communicating on a lot of this stuff. So we're going to continue that trend.
No, I think it's important, especially right now. You know, our kids have been home a lot. Some of us, I don't know if they've, you know, here in Dallas, Parker is back in school full time, but for a while, you know, he was home and then it was every other week, but now back, but they're fully masked up and being really careful. And I think—
Have you gotten those emails? Like, have you gotten the—
Yeah. Oh, yes. From our school?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I feel like everyone has, right? Oh, yeah. Like, it's just kind of commonplace.
Full disclosure, right now, we've had 2 COVID cases in our house. I had it, Bart had it, and our kids did not get it, but we're vaccinated now. Not that, you know, we're still super careful, but yeah, in school, 100%. We've had the emails. We actually could not go on our winter vacation because a child in my daughter's class had an exposure, which meant she was exposed, and we canceled our winter vacation. Now, did we have to and not tell anyone? I mean, you know, there's that, but you know, we want to be responsible. So we said, guys, we're staying home.
And that's one thing that maybe we'll push this to the end, but one thing I really wanted to make sure parents know about that we are focusing on is the mental health aspect of this and the effect that it's had on not only our kids, but our staff as well. You'll see, if you've started filling out the forms, if you haven't, you'll see that there is a new page on our forms that is specifically related to your family and your son's experience throughout the pandemic and how it's affected you, like what type of loss that you've experienced, what big kind of milestones or family outings that you've missed. Because I think we all, like, it's really important that our directors and our staff get a handle on really truly seeing the effect that it's had on every camper at camp, because that just goes back into the we need this and they need this piece of this. For
sure. Well, I think they need it for peace of mind, and it's healthy, and to be able to be, you know, normal again is, I just know that in our house, Parker has not stopped talking about camp. And I know that according to you, May 3rd is the cutoff for the store. So we have to get on that immediately. What if people watch this and they think, okay, this triggered something, I have a question. Should they email you? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Email, call, text, you can find us in any ways. And maybe what we'll do, if you're up for it, Melissa, is if questions come in, and I know we didn't cover everything and there's a couple other things I wanted to touch on, but if questions come in, we can gather them and do this again and like do a follow-up.
We can also, it's up to you. We can take this on or off air, but we can have a conversation where we actually have kind of this panel discussion and maybe an open forum and they can ask you questions.
That'd be great. We could set up a webinar for sure. And we were going to do that anyway with our Pediatrust doctors before camp starts too. So we could have a medical perspective on this. The one thing, just to circle back for 2 minutes about the cohorts and the pods, I want people to kind of realize that if two siblings are in separate cohorts, yes, they're not going to be going into each other's cabin and they're not going to be in a close space, unmasked and like sharing air. But if they want to sit on two benches 6 feet apart from each other outside and like hang out, they can do that. Like we are not going to, it's not like we are going to be keeping the groups completely isolated from one another. We want to just do our two of three. So we will be able to interact with our older brothers at camp, our actual older brothers and our camp older brothers and younger brothers for that time. So just know that we understand the value that having the older boys and the younger boys interact brings. And we're going to do that in a safe and COVID conscious way, even during that first week of camp.
Well, I just want to congratulate you because you have put a lot of thought into this and you've worked really hard over the past year to make sure that we have the opportunity to send our boys and, you know, hopefully we can all cooperate and do what we're supposed to do on our end so camp can be really successful.
Well, thank you. And I owe a lot of it to the work that some of my peers and colleagues did by actually running last summer and setting the example for how this can work and showing the country that this is safe and this is healthy and positive and like whatever hurdles come, we will tackle them and we'll figure it out. But camp needs to run. And the kids, like, we all have to do it. The kids need to be together, and I miss all of us being at camp together. So we're gonna make it happen.
Awesome. Okay. Well, if you guys have more questions, reach out to Jason. Obviously, he's telling text, email, call, whatever. And I know that he's been helpful, you know, to us answering our crazy questions. But I guess no question is a dumb question.
Not when it comes to this.
But hopefully we can get back together and have your questions live because I know there's so much to cover, but we wanted to kind of give you a different, you know, high level view to kind of put our toe in the water as to what we can expect this summer.
Definitely. And as you said at the beginning, people take information in different ways. So Some people don't like to read the emails. So maybe this will be a helpful kind of overall guide that can steer them towards reading what they need to. And this is the first podcast of the season. So we're kicking it off in a great way. And I really appreciate your time and always love talking to you. You have a great calm perspective on camps and it definitely
makes great calm perspective on camp on camera. Right. they're laughing behind you, going, really? No, but but I think it does come down to trust. And we trust you and we know that you've done everything and you wouldn't be doing this if it was unsafe. So I think that's for us, I just know it will be totally fine. And now we have to do our part. And I hope that, like I said, I hope other families do too. And I think your camp community is all like-minded, so it won't be an issue.
I think so too. And I know that we've been in lockstep with every other camp director in our area. Like a lot of our good friends, we're all doing the same thing and we're all in it together. And so share your concerns, share your thoughts. We'll get to a place where we're all together on June 21st and celebrating in the safest and most excited way that we know how.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jason.
Thank you. Thank you so much to Melissa and her team for putting that together. That was great. We're going to be back with so many more episodes. Like the Campcast, subscribe, and we will see you next time. For the love of camp, I am Jason Felgraber. Talk to y'all soon.